And we will move on to the second case of this morning, Prater against Joliet Junior College. Okay, Mr. Broderick.
Good morning, Your Honors. Richard Broderick on behalf of the plaintiff appellant.
I think you've lost your audience, Mr. Broderick. At least the Russian part.
Well, as long as I haven't lost yours.
Never.
Okay.
Proceed.
I believe that I'm probably would appreciate the dialogue as well in this circumstance. I believe that in our situation, Ms. Prater was working for Joliet Junior College, that there was direct evidence of discrimination, age discrimination. She heard it, and her supervisor, who subsequently left shortly before she was terminated, had heard it, and that was within her deposition. That was
While you're looking for that, could I ask you a point of clarification?
Sure.
This indicates appeal of Bradley Waller, trustee on behalf of the estate of Gwendolyn Prater. What kind of estate?
Ms. Prater, due to the financial circumstances of being laid off and with her age and not being able to find work, had to file bankruptcy.
So this is her bankruptcy estate.
Correct.
She hasn't passed away.
You know, if she gets enough to pay off whatever creditors there are, and whatever remains will go back to Ms. Prater as well.
Okay. Thank you.
If I could just proceed, I provided it within my brief that prior employer or prior supervisor had stated in her deposition that she had heard Dr. Irby make the age discrimination statement that she was going to get rid of the older people and bring in younger people to mold them the way she wanted.
But, you know, I think the college has assumed the burden, as it seems to me from this case, of proving the mixed motive kind of case. That would be a very damning remark if that was all there was. But by going on and showing that the grant that was funding her position was terminated, and what the college has argued, as you of course know, is that the people that you're pointing to as alleged replacements in fact were in a very different kind of job category and thus were not. I mean, they're trying to say regardless of this, the same thing would have happened to her anyway. So I don't think you need to assume the burden of showing that remark was bad. But
okay, well, I believe that's disingenuous for them to be saying that, because in Dr. Irby's deposition testimony, she stated that Ms. Prater had that she was straddling her over the alleged grant that supposedly didn't get renewed with other funds, you know.
And but that was just making up the rest of her salary as she continued to get salary increases. And my understanding is the work of these two new people was administrative, and administrative in terms of more clerical versus sort of managing the program as your client did when she had the position with the aid students.
Well, the part is that Ms. Prater actually trained one of the individuals, Ms. Jones, while she was. Let me back up. There's the grants that come in, there's the college funding, and then the grants that last the whole year, and then there's some special grants that come in periodically, you know, a little extra overtime. And it was the younger people, you know, Ms. Prater, during her deposition, she stated that she was getting those for a period of time, and then when Dr. Irby changed and had this perspective, she wasn't receiving those anymore, and they were going to the younger workers. And then during the period of time immediately prior to her medical leave, she had trained Ms. Jones in her position, and that it was Ms. Jones that was receiving the extra little overtime grants when she had previously received them in the past. And it's if you look at the complaint, you know, the first part is that the letter on August 27th terminated her, saying that the funds for the grant weren't there. And in our complaint, allegation number 6 stated that her work performance and everything was fine and dandy. You know, that she rose to her work responsibilities.
But, you know, grants, I mean, one thing that bothered me about your position is really just the way grants work. She was working under this Public Aid Special Projects mm-hmm. grant, mm-hmm. and primarily, as you would assume, with public aid clients. Mm-hmm. And then the suggestion is made to her you could change over to private clients. Well, grantees don't. I mean, there would be serious auditing problems, I'll put it that way, if you used public aid special project money to pay somebody who was not servicing public aid
Correct.
Clients. And so there were significant funding issues for the recipient college, and she didn't really want to change over.
That's not
without more pay.
Well, no, that's incorrect. What she took issue with was, she took issue with the exact discrimination. She took issue with not, because
all I'm saying is she said she was told you could change, and I thought the district court correctly recognized she would have been happy to have changed if she could have gotten extra money in conjunction with the change.
No. Because in her deposition, I remembered her previous supervisor's name, so Liz Protage, in her deposition testimony, stated that she was not only working with public aid, but non-public aid, Carolyn Patrick.
Well, and she was getting some funding from I'm assuming no one's defrauding anyone, and she was getting some funding from other sources, too, but the ratio has to be observed.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that when Ms. Prater had gotten that, there's also, in addition to the grant, there's bonuses that come to the college, and it was Ms. Prater's a testimony that she heard from Dr. Irby that there was a $72,000 bonus that came to him because of the previous good work that they had done. Mm-hmm. Well, the point being is that there are two parts.
So your position would be that whole $72,000 should have, or whatever would have made up the difference, should have gone to her. Is that your position, that the entire bonus should have?
No. What I'm saying is that the money was there. What I'm saying is that the money was there, and the statement by the college. You have to understand that the statement by the college is just a statement, because they've never produced any financial any financials with respect to showing the position of the college. They've never shown that there was a lack. There's only the hearsay of what was said with respect to the financials. And the financials should be black and white. The financials should be out there to say, you know, we had this amount of money, we had this number of people.
Did you ask them to produce that?
I had a request to produce, and a second request to produce, and Judge Zagel refused to compel the defendants after they did not provide that information or the documents. Mm-hmm. That was at issue. That is.
Okay. So you're running into your. It's up to you, but you are running into your rebuttal time.
I apologize.
No, you can use it now if you want to, but it's just.
I'd like to reserve at least one minute of that, if I could.
That's when the orange light goes on.
Okay.
Finish your. I'll give you a minute.
What I'm trying to say is that if you look at the circumstances, they're just making the statement, and they're not substantiating it. I agree, you know, if it was just the fun, but Dr. Irby already set the precedent that she was keeping her, and she was working in two areas. She was working with public aid and non-public aid, and getting paid out of two funds. Well, they can't show right now that just because the funding supposedly went out, but the funding didn't, because the funding there in the newspaper came in, and she was terminated on the August 27th while she was in the hospital. September 6th, there's an ad in the newspaper for the two additional intake specialists.
Just let me make sure I got it clear, though. You're not disputing that the public aid special projects grant dried up.
I'm sorry. I need to reserve
the $50,000 public aid special projects grant. You're not disputing that that dried up or that was not renewed, are you? I'm just trying to get ahead.
No, it was renewed. I'm saying it was renewed.
Okay, so
it was in the newspaper. It was renewed.
That specific one was renewed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you have a minute, but you have to sit down now because you've actually used up all of your time, Mr. Ward.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Ward. I represent Joliet Junior College with respect to this particular appeal. And we think that the lower court decision should be affirmed, and it should be affirmed principally because of two reasons. One, that we don't believe that there's any genuine issue of material fact in this particular case.
And you are assuming the burden, though, of this mixed motive.
Absolutely. And in this particular instance, we're saying that assuming that the alleged direct evidence statements were made, that this was going to be, this was a decision that was going to occur regardless. And really, the evidence of that fact is that there was an offer of continued employment with the college. The college simply said to Ms. Preter in February of 1998, and again in May of 1998, in February, they made the statement in writing and in person, and that's in the memorandum, which is part of the record, which is really, I think, the clearest bit of evidence in this case that the lower court really, you know, held on to. That said, we're going to have a problem continuing to fund your position out of a single special aid or public aid special project grant.
What about what Mr. Broderick was just saying to Judge Williams about the renewal of the $50,000 grant after, I guess, in September sometime or something? What's that all
right.
about?
If you look closely at that statement, the problem was is that the person who drafted the grant, the dean, Dr. Terry Irby, understood that this, the funding for this particular grant in the subsequent year, the 98-99 year, was not going to be increased beyond the $50,000 it had been funded at for several years. And she said it's becoming increasingly difficult to fund both the position occupied by the plaintiff, in this case, Gwendolyn Preter, and her supervisor out of that sole $50,000. And because of that, she had begun to straddle the plaintiff over two grants, as pointed out. She had also received word that this particular, because when you write these grants, you know the direction that these things are headed in. It was her belief that this grant was going to be discontinued shortly. Well, for the 98-99 school year, it was renewed, but it was renewed only at the $50,000 mark. And she couldn't continue to straddle the plaintiff. Subsequent to the 98-99 year, that grant was altogether eliminated. So it was eliminated. It was not eliminated for the 98-99 year. However, the problem of straddling her over that grant and another grant that was paid out of a different area became a problem, and that's why they said to her, listen, we need you to start to work with a general population student, not exclusively or primarily with the public aid sector.
Had the plaintiff's position always been funded by this particular grant source?
It had. You know, I don't know the exact year off the top of my head that she began to have to be straddled over two different grants, but it occurred, at least we know for certain, in 97-98 as I stand here today, that was becoming a problem for them.
And what about the additional funds to supplement and counsel's request before Judge Zagel for additional information so that they could determine whether she really was stretched, that is, whether Irby, I think, is the dean, whether she was stretched, whether she could cover the position with the salary level that Preter was used to and had received in the past.
Well,
the documentation to support, in other words, the dean's position.
Well, let me address first the question of the funding source. That particular grant allocated $50,000 for the salary of those positions. Now, grants may contain a variety of other dollar amounts, but those grants are written so that they're attributed to a specific type of item that they can fund. We dispute the fact that there is a $72,000 bonus. What really occurs there is that when a public aid client is removed from the public aid rolls, it's considered, you know, a $4,000 savings. And so what happens is that the college gets a report back, hey, based on your performance, you've removed X number of people from public aid, and as a result of that, in effect, by us giving you $50,000, you've saved $72,000 in public aid money. And that's really what that source of funds.
So there was no direct check written to the college for that
$72,000. Correct.
It was just that program.
Correct. And then second, on the issue of the discovery, I don't want to belabor this too long, but the opportunity to view that discovery was made available to the plaintiff in this particular case, and that pursuant to Judge Zagel's order, that inspection, because of the voluminous amount of grants and financial documents that they were going to be looking through, were contained at the college. He was offered the opportunity to go to the college and view those records. That opportunity was never taken, and the court addressed that squarely, and it's in the record in this particular case that opportunity was afforded, and for that very reason, Judge Zagel denied the motion for additional discovery in this particular case. The important point here that the college is trying to make is that when you apply a mixed motive analysis, it's pretty clear that but for the plaintiff's refusal of continued employment, it's clear from the record she admits that a meeting occurred and that she was told that she would have the opportunity to continue employment at Joliet Junior College, but that she was going to have to shift her responsibilities in a different fashion, and she refused that opportunity.
So what I've been wondering about this case is whether in some disguised sense it was really about the terms and conditions of her employment, that if she was going to switch over to this other population, she somehow should have been getting more supplemental payments or more bonus. I realize that's not what she has alleged here, but I'm just
Correct.
Trying to get to the bottom of what the nature of the real
dispute
gripe is,
right.
Actually.
The real gripe is that it was her belief that she should have been paid more if she was going to work with general aid, a general aid population. It had nothing to do with the fact that she was terminated whatsoever. I think it's only a corollary that once she was terminated for refusing to do that, that the claim is that the decision was made based on, you know, the alleged discriminatory reasons. But the real beef in this case, and, you know, if you look at the record, I think the question to her is, or if you look at the memorandum from February 23rd, 1998, it was pretty clear that they were forthright and had a discussion with her, and her point was that maybe I've got some leverage here. I don't want to do it unless I'm paid more. And the college has under no obligation to pay the plaintiff more for assuming different responsibilities. And in no way does that indicate that they terminated her because of the alleged age-based remarks.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, we request that the lower court decision be affirmed.
All right. Thank you. And we will give you a minute for rebuttal, Mr. Broderick.
Your Honor, Mr. Ward's statement that I didn't take the opportunity to go to Joliet Junior College and seek the discovery information is completely a misrepresentation. I was down to the college, and there was additional documentation that I requested that was not even provided. It was the employment files that I was down there for, but they never produced the financial documents. Those were requested. That wasn't. With respect to the additional portion, they've never provided the documentation. They've always had it. They didn't even provide it in their briefs with respect to showing the financial information that's there to say that the financial resources aren't there and this isn't a pretext. When we came in, when it was set on in the letter on August 27th, it said because the $50,000 loan didn't come through, but then it did come through. Well, which is it? Is it because the $50,000 didn't come through because there wasn't additional money? Now because she's alleged to not want to work with these? When it's all that question. But right now they've been bouncing around on why it is, and you can't do that.
You need the credibility. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thanks to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement.